How about Israel? And all the way from, he's amazing. All the way from Trinidad, all right? And I believe he actually has some CDs out in the lobby, so if you want to avail yourself of some of those, you can grab one on the way out. I think you're supposed to leave money if you grab one, but don't ask, don't tell, right? No, I'm only kidding about that. So, well, once again, Merry Christmas Eve. Is everyone ready for Christmas? All right. Seemed like I heard those higher octaves of the children a little bit louder. We better be ready, right? Because it is right at the door. By the same token, we have certainly come to that time in the year for many of us, maybe not so much the kids, but maybe more for us adults, that it kind of come to the point in the season where we can start to grow a little bit weary, if we're honest, of all of the busyness that kind of comes along with the season. And I'm going to be really transparent, and I have felt before, and probably even said out loud before, not this year, but in some years past, like, I'm ready for Christmas to be over. I've even heard and counseled with some people that said, Pastor, you know, I'd rather just skip Christmas. Maybe it has some bad memories for you. Maybe it brings a lot of stress. I don't know. But regardless, maybe it's not that extreme, but we just get tired. You know, maybe you've been to several different holiday parties already this year. Maybe some of you, that's why you come to the early service, because you're going to hit three or four more parties tonight, you know. And some of you guys maybe still have a gift or two to buy. Will anybody admit that you still have at least one gift that you need to buy? Would you raise your hand? Honesty is a great thing in church, all right? And so then just the chaos that can come with everything that goes along with this season. In spite of all that, can you imagine, and this is what I want to talk about for just a couple of minutes tonight, but can you imagine what it would be like if there were no Christmas? And so we think about some of the traditions and trappings that go along with that. So if there were no such thing as Christmas trees or presents around Christmas trees, if there was no such thing as Christmas decorations. God forbid if there was no such thing as eggnog. You either love it or you hate it, all right? I love it. Or no such thing as Martinelli's Christmas cider, all right? Can I get an amen there? But no Christmas cards, no Christmas carols. But much more than that, let's say that tonight I asked all of you guys to take a Bible from the pew rack, or maybe you have one with you, or to access it on your phone, and to go to the book of Luke, because we were going to read the Christmas story, but there was no book of Luke. There was no Christmas story there. In fact, when you opened up your Bible, all that you saw was Genesis through Malachi. There were no New Testament books at all. Can you just imagine for a minute if there were no trace of the Christ of Christmas? And this is important because, see, this first Christmas that we celebrate, that we commemorate, that we sing about tonight, it set in motion everything that we do today on this 2000th and something Christmas. But just imagine if there were no angelic announcement, all right? No shepherds from afar, no wise men bringing gifts to Jesus, and no beautiful, perfect baby in a manger. No trace of Christmas. Now, for most of us, because we're Christians or we celebrate Christmas every year, this seems unimaginable, unthinkable, and thank God it's not true, right? There really is Christmas, and there really was that first Christmas, but I want to kind of unpack in just a couple of minutes some things that would be stark realities that have much greater consequences than simply not having a Christmas tree or Christmas cards or getting to chug down some eggnog. I want to talk to you about some things that would be true if there were no Christmas. So let me give you the first one. If there were no first Christmas, knowing God would be impossible. It would be impossible to know God intimately in a personal way if there were no Christmas. The only way that we can know God and have a personal relationship with him is through his son Jesus. And so if Jesus would have never come to earth and do what he did for us, we could never know God. And Jesus said this himself. Look at the screen at this verse in John The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse, Jesus says this, and I love the way, this is a familiar verse to many of you, but I love the way it reads in the Amplified Version. It gives us a little bit more. It says this, I am the only way to God. Jesus said, I am the real truth. I am the real life. And look at it. No one comes to the Father. No one can intimately know God but through me. And so if Jesus had not been born of that virgin and lived that sinless life and died in our place for our sin, we could never know God. We could never have a personal relationship with God through his son Jesus. And this is why this is so important. I really believe that in every one of our lives, in every one of our hearts, in every one of our souls that's in this room tonight, there is this God-shaped hole that only God can fill. Right? So we try to fill it with so many different things. I know that I did for many years. You know, you try to fill it with relationships. You try to fill it maybe with material things. Maybe if you were honest with yourself and with God tonight, there's been times that you tried to fill that void with some sort of outside substance, hoping that it was going to give you a high, or hoping that it was going to give you a thrill, hoping that it was going to cause you to not remember some of the awful things in life. And sometimes even those things work for a fleeting moment. But nothing can fill that God-shaped hole. Nothing can fulfill that void in our lives except this personal connection with God. And so what I'm trying to tell you tonight, if Jesus had not come on that first Christmas, knowing God would be impossible. Let me give you a second thing. If there were no Christmas, the good news that we talk about at Christmas would become bad news. And let me show you what I mean. If you look at the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, which thankfully, yes, is in the Word of God, it says this, the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you what? What did the angel proclaim? I proclaim to you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. And what is that news? Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you who is the Messiah, the Lord. Now we hear the word gospel, all right? Gospel. Most of you are familiar with that word. You've heard that word. We associate that word mostly with church and with Christianity. It's used in other contexts, but the word gospel literally means good news. And so the good news that the angel is speaking about, that he's proclaiming because of the birth of Jesus, is the gospel. Now, if I were to ask you guys tonight, hey, give me a definition of the gospel. We might get some variations of answers, and many of them may be true, at least to a certain extent. But let me give you a very simple definition of the word gospel that I like to use. And this is a good one to keep in mind. What is the gospel? The gospel, well, the one word answer is the gospel is Jesus, right? In fact, if anybody asks you a church question and you just say Jesus, I mean, how can that be wrong? Amen? But the gospel is Jesus, but more than that, the gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so the gospel is not only who Jesus is, God, but what he has done, that he lived perfectly, that he died horrifically, that he rose from the grave triumphantly. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the best news. And without that first Christmas, man, it'd be bad news, wouldn't it? The good news would then, in reality, be bad news. Throughout the entire Old Testament, the Messiah was prophesied, right? So the prophets, we see a lot of prophesying. We see a lot of foreshadowing. It goes all the way through that last prophet, Malachi, in the Old Testament. All throughout those Old Testament books, a Savior is coming. A Savior will be born. A Messiah will come to save people from their sins. And then the Old Testament was closed. Malachi spoke, and it went silent. Like dead silent for 400 years. No written prophetical words about Jesus coming. And after 400 years of silence, boom, baby, And I mean that literally. Boom, baby. Jesus was born. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and all of those prophecies came true. Every single one was fulfilled. The good news came from heaven to earth, and without that, the good news would be bad news. Jesus came 100% human, 100% man, if you will, so he could understand us, so he could relate to us, so he could hurt when we hurt, so he would understand how we were tempted. But at the same time, he was 100% man, he was 100% God, so he was God enough and good enough and perfect enough to be our Savior. He became sin for us. He destroyed death. And let me give you this last thing. If there were no Christmas, physical death would be the end. Heaven would be unobtainable if there were no such thing as what all of you people have crammed into this room to celebrate tonight. Like, if that were not true, physical death would be the end. Now, gosh, I want to be sensitive here, because you know, in a church our size, and with the guests even that we have at all these Christmas Eve services, some of you are experiencing the first Christmas without one of your closest loved ones, right? So let's be sensitive to that tonight. Maybe some of you have lost a mom or a dad or a grandparent in the last year, a sibling, in some cases, maybe even a child. And so this is the first Christmas that you'll celebrate without that loved one here. Or maybe it hasn't just been in the past year. Maybe it was 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. But when these times come around, these holidays like Christmas, and those loved ones are no longer here, it hurts, doesn't it? It's hard. But man, aren't you glad if you know Jesus, that physical death is not the end? And it's all because of Christmas. It's because heaven came to earth. It's because heaven touched, heaven kissed earth. Look at Acts 4. There is no one else who has the power to save us. There's only one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation, the name of Jesus. Someone had to pay the price for our sin. Christ came on that first Christmas to destroy the power of death. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Look at what Jesus said in John 11, 25. He said, "I am the resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. Anyone who believes in me will live." What does that say? Will live even after dying. That death is not the end. Christ, the newborn King, the Son of God, came to dwell among us humans to give us life and to give us life everlasting. Look, there's no reason that the joy that we carry in our hearts on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day can't be something that we experience every day of our lives. Because joy is something much deeper than happiness, right? So if the stock market is up or down, or if the president is in the White House or not, or you know, tragedy strikes or not, yes, we go through times of sorrow, but that deep-seated peace of knowing that God is in control of our lives never passes away. And that came because of Christmas. So if there were no Christmas, yeah, there'd be no Christmas trees, and there'd be no Christmas cards and gifts and all the rest of the trappings. But more than that, it'd be impossible to know God. The good news that everybody's smiling about tonight would be bad news, and physical death would be the end. But I want to share some great news with you tonight. This is not make-believe, all right? I'm not anti-Santa, but this isn't about Santa. This is about God. And this is about his son, Jesus Christ. And it is the best news ever. You guys have been sitting for a while. Would you stand with me tonight? I want to have a prayer for us. Would you stand all over the room for just a moment? And as you stand, would you bow your heads? We're going to sing a couple of more songs, and we have some great Christmas traditions that we want to fulfill here tonight at the Hills. But right before we do that, I want to have a prayer. And as your head is bowed tonight, maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you're thinking, you know, I don't know that I've ever made that personal connection with God like Pastor's talking about. I don't know that I've ever truly given my heart to God. I believe in God. I would even say maybe that I love God, but I don't know that I've ever asked God to be my Savior, to forgive me of my sins, to take me to heaven when I die. And man, I want to give you the opportunity. What better day of the year than Christmas Eve and at church service to give your heart to Jesus? And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You don't need to pray this prayer out loud, but if you'd like to kind of pray this prayer along with me in your heart, and by the way, let me say this, praying a prayer doesn't save anybody, right? But if you'll mean this prayer the best you know how, with what faith you have, Jesus will come into your life. Let's pray. If you want to pray this tonight, just cry out to God in your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I admit that I failed in my life. And I thank you, God, that you came and you died for my sin. You were sinless and you died in my place. I believe that. I trust in that. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Savior. I ask you to take me to heaven when I die. I ask you to help me live for you. I know that I can't save myself. I ask you to save me in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed for just a moment, just a second. Nobody looking around. We don't want to embarrass anybody, but just as a testimony to show God that you were serious and just to let this preacher, this pastor alone know that you made a commitment tonight to Jesus, would you just slip your hand up just for just a second so I could see it? So God, and I see hands in every single section tonight. That's pretty awesome. Amen, church? You can put your hands down and you can be seated tonight. God bless you. We love you.